morning, ladies, gentlemen, members, officials from Department, Parliament. Entities. The time of the season also catches up with us. A season of reporting, season of mid-term budget policy statement, a season of budget review and recommendation reports. A season where we have to account for our spend for the year, at the same time reprioritize. Working towards another cycle in terms of our budget. It's a very vicious cycle. It gives you very little time in between to breathe. and you have to master if you are doing proper oversight work, especially as members of parliament. Unfortunately, I couldn't be here yesterday. You know, this one writer would have said one dearest possession of any human being is their life. So you've got to hang on to that life. It's given to you but once. So I'm sure the number of months is here. We have a program for us, and maybe before we start off with that program, we shall do the honors of indicating to the meeting of those that shall have submitted their apologies for the Minister of Water and Sanitation, the Deputy. The Minister has also been assigned Human Settlement Ministry. She has a commitment, and the Deputy Minister is launching a treatment plant in Colesberg. The DG has tendered her apology. As she would not be able to attend this session. we have before us the four entities. Nkomati Usuthu, Ubrede Horst, and TCTA, and also WRC. And then, of course, the Ingos Telukhu also has sent us his apology. Those are the only apologies that we have. We shall start off with the TCTA. Or maybe before we do that, we still have to deal with a matter related to water boards. we insisted last time that they be here when it came to a matter related to budget. We are informed that theirs is in keeping with the municipalities and the financial year end. As a result of that, they table their report sometime in December because of the scenario that they are with the municipalities. It is something that we need to work on. to an extent, we should be able to have the water board reporting on the annual performance. It's something that we need to work on. But in the meantime, let's allow the 2GA to come before us. Ms. Maluleka.
Thank you, Chair. I'm suggesting on the apologies, Mr. Mukondo, I don't know about Ms. Bilanko. At 2 o'clock we'll be attending the Asan culture. So I was suggesting that if we are having two entities now, they present the two of them and then we go to questions. Because if we can say one, we take longer questions before we go to the other one. And then around 2 o'clock, I think we'll not have a quorum.
Mr. Mbune, you are your own shop steward.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I understand what the witness is very clear. If we can allow all of them, as we've been doing, but all of the entities to report, we can keep notes, you see. Then we can ask questions and we can finish the thing at the end. And it's my request.
I guess the challenge is that some of them are not here. And they have been proved that they will come only that afternoon. I want to believe that we only have two here, am I right? All of them are here.
Good morning, Chairperson. Sorry we are late. We were coming from another meeting. All of them are here. All four are here.
Here's a substitute again. Can we get an indication of all of them? The name? Brede? Brede?
They are on their way.
I'm saying they are here. The three are here, and that I just confirmed with the CD.
Can I get an indication, Brede? Somebody is going to first them. Can we get an indication, Nkomati? PCA? And Water Fetch? So somebody is fetching Brede. Okay, is that fine, Shopsword? Thank you, sir. Without waste of time, thanks for that. I take it very given that we all entertain all of them at once, and then we take the full spectrum of questions and comments. Thanks for that, Mrs. Maluleke and Mr. Nguni. Okay, one thing that you must also note is TCPA is coming through, is that TCPA has not been having a board for a very long time. It is something that we also need to pay attention to as an oversight committee of parliament. It is our responsibility. The unfortunate part about this whole exercise is that our committee as parliament, we have no role to play in the appointment of any of the boards. That's generally how the legislation is as we speak. It is something that, as members of parliament, we need to deal with ourselves. You will not be able to deal with it yourself as a board, or rather, as an entity. Going through your what you call it, is it a forward or but your remarks to carry short. You do get that one very clear. It's like you are the sole person who is playing almost every role, both as an accounting officer and also as an oversight over the entity. It's quite an anomaly you go through your Kingsview report. It's something that we also need to deal with. But it is something that we also have to comment about, I would imagine, later in the course of our interaction with yourself. In the meantime, the floor is yours, Mr. Lou.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to members and thanks for the opportunity for us to present to you our work that we've done in the last financial year. I think the intent of our presentation, Chair and members, is to give you a sense of what we've done and the steady hand in which we manage the organization in the environment that you've just described, Chair. And I think we also want to assure you that by the time the stewardship is brought to TCTA, we believe that the organization will still be a going concern, Chair, and that's what we will take you through the presentation this morning. Just the broad perspective on the intention of the year under review. The narrative was that we were given a mandate to raise money from the banks and other institutions to be able to deliver on particular mandates that the minister would have given to the board to deliver on. What we have reflected, Chairperson, is about 13 projects and their progress to date. And I want to start by saying that, Chair, we have been able to raise money from the market to be able to finance these projects. And if you look at all of them, Chair, they have been delivered accordingly. And one of the biggest highlights is the pipeline that went to support Medupi for the commissioning of Medupi. I think it was a 43-kilometer pipeline that we've delivered within budget and expectation. Safe to say that, unfortunately, the water sector never surfaced when the President unveiled Medupi as one of the strategic contributions for that pipeline. If you look at all of our projects, Chairperson, they are ranging from the dams and the old projects that we're managing now, for example, the finalization of the debt of the project that we've built in Cape Town, which is a Back River project. We've got the Vaal River system, which is a pipeline for Eskom and Sasol. We have a transfer scheme in KwaZulu-Natal, which was a 60 cubic meters of a dam, which was augmenting Umgeni system, which is a 2 billion rand project. It's on course. We've got the refurbishment of Moyumgeni pipeline, which was a Moyumgeni phase one, which we're doing jointly with the department. Then we have the 2C, which is basically around the Olifant project in Limpopo. And then another pipeline for Eskom, which was the Komati scheme, which was delivered on time and we had a savings on it, Chair, because initially we thought the project would have costed two comma something billion. We ended up doing it at 1.5 billion rand with a savings of 500 million. Mukolo Crocodile is a pipeline that is going to Medupi. We've finished that project. It needs to be augmented, and the tariff earnings are going to flow through to repay that debt. And then we have the acid mine drainage that we are working on at the moment, Chair. And I must say, in terms of the acid mine drainage, we have established the three basins. The central basin is finished. It's already being tried at the moment. It does have some elements of being tested, particularly the scrapers to deal with the sludge and the thickness of it. The eastern basin will be commissioned by February to April next year, The Western Basin Chair, which I know the committee might have visited, is also a joint project with Sibanye, and I think at the moment we are doing that one. Chairperson, the organization, if you look at it at this point in time, it projected that all projects would have been financed, fully funded, in terms of the agreement we had with the minister. And I must say that, yes, they are all fully funded, Chairperson. The markets were quite agreeable in providing money to finance this project off balance sheet of the state. Because our main value proposition is that the minister would give us projects where the department may not have the resources of the state and will raise that money from the market. So all of these projects are funded, Chairperson. In terms of the transformation agenda, if you look at the type of skills that we've developed over the financial year, Chair, they are reflective, and also in terms of the enterprise development, particularly black companies that we have empowered, you see the 619 million figure, which has gone directly to black companies. And after that, Chairperson, you'll see that in terms of locality where we build these projects, local economic development does happen as well. I'll just give the CFO a chance to give the detail in terms of the financial steps. So just as the last point from my side is that if you look at the communities, we do leave a sense of contribution. In the Moyumgeni transfer scheme, we are building about 41 houses there, Chairperson. They are finished now. And these are houses that will be given to communities that we have removed from the footprint of the reservoir. Because we had to remove our people and also remove their dwellings. So there's a picture in the presentation about the type of houses that we're providing. The resettlement will be happening. We also talking to the minister about the unveiling of that village, and the houses are quite beautiful, Chair. In terms of the organization itself, Chairperson, it has made those social and economic impact, and the kind of opinion which the CFO will dealt with in detail is that the organization is still healthy. We have been working hard, and again, Chairperson, we are happy to tell the committee and yourself that we have an unqualified opinion, and that the markets are still finding CCTA as an attractive environment to invest for the water project, Chairperson. I'll then give the CFO just to take us through the numbers in terms of how the fiscal flows have gone, but also in terms of how we're trying to balance our running costs vis-a-vis the exponential water sales and earnings over time. And the fact that we try as much as possible to keep the tariffs at an inflation level and not above or below, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, before we go ahead, could we just be explained the document? I don't understand the... We've got the project and you've got the target progress by the 31st. If you look at one of them, McCormick or Crocodile, it says an outstanding debt of 1.45 million, annual spend 379, and then you get to the next column, actual progress, an outstanding debt of 1.2 million and annual spend 241. I just need clarity on that. I don't know how far is the project. I don't know what they mean by outstanding debt. So I just need clarity on that. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't understand it, so I would like just clarity on that, Chair.
You see, the challenge that we're going to have is that when we were deciding, we said we're going to take note. Now, what I have been doing that, I have made that point on my notes as well. But I thought equally the CFO would dwell more on those issues. That's the assumption.
only until the CFO is done. Then those issues. But still, I have made my own notes here. Among others, it is the balance sheet. Among others, it is the short and long term solution. Now, these are the notes that we are making. I would imagine if we were to take all of those other notes, I would imagine we should be having those kind of notes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm making notes, but if I could just explain the notes, then there would be some questions that I wouldn't have asked. So that's all I'm just requesting, yeah.
That's a lot of people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. What we try to do under the financial summary is just to explain to the committee, in essence, what our cash inflows have been for the year, the context of it, and then also the cash outflows, just to give the committee a better idea of what exactly was expended in the year, or the significant cash spent and inflow. If you look at the first diagram, you'll see that the majority of the cash inflows there is reflected as tariffs. It's noted on there, or it's stated on there as tariffs from Departments of Water and Sanitation. I just want to clarify that that is not necessarily the case, because it's actually your tariffs from your off-takers, from the various projects. The portion there talks about transfers from the department. Those would be for your social projects where the department has, in essence, funded the project. For instance, your Willy Funds Phase 2C, which was funded by the department. Drawdowns from loans. In essence, what happens from a debt management perspective is you have your cash projections for that period, and based on that, you would then do your drawdowns from your various off-takers, from your various funders, I beg your pardon, depending on what the cash requirement for that specific year is. And then, of course, in terms of interest received, what happens is we have what we call a redemption portfolio, which we've created to be able to repay our debt. For instance, we've got a big bond that's due for redemption next year. So a redemption portfolio is created, and that then results in us earning a bit of interest on that redemption portfolio, and that interest is accounted for directly back into that project. And yeah, and then just a small portion relating to proceeds on the sale of financial assets, that's basically where your repo transactions that we deal with in the financial market. If we then look at how that cash is then utilized, you'll see that a huge portion of that actually relates to your capital expenditure, which for the 2015 year was 21%. And then in terms of debt repayment, we had 23%, which is basically towards the reduction of the debt on the various projects. Interest paid is a substantial portion, and that is as anticipated, due to us raising the money up front and then repaying it over the 20-year period in order to ensure that we've got smooth and affordable tariffs. We also pay a significant portion on royalties to the Lesotho government. And you will see from there as well that all our remuneration-related expenses is quite a small chunk for the 2015 year. That actually works out to 2% of our total spend. And then you've got a small portion as well just relating to any additions to our property, plant and equipment, basically office premises. And that's in essence how we've actually utilized that cash. Just to go back to that table earlier on, that there was a question raised on, if I could just explain it a little bit further. What that table is actually saying, if you look at the actual column, and where it's talking about an outstanding debt, it's basically saying that at that point in time, as at the end of 31st March 2015, what was actually deflected, or how much have we actually spent on that project at that point in time? So, and that would directly depend on the stage of that specific project where we are. If it is completed, it would reflect the total capital spend as well as the interest up to that point in time. And then as the years progress, the further movement would be further interest as well as then repayments in the debt as we progress through the debt repayment period. Chair, just to conclude on the financial aspect, just to mention that we did in fact receive an unqualified audit opinion from the external auditors. And they've also further confirmed TCTA status as a going concern. Thank you, Chair.
Any conclusions?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the presentation reflected on the fact that, in summary, we have done all of these projects in line with the government mandates. I think we're participating, Chairperson, in about few of the objectives that we took directly from the department and minister and implemented these projects where they also articulate the government agenda, for example, on job creation, on skills development, on enterprise development. But at the same time, issues such as trying to find the most cost-effective money to be able to do our projects, and that all the projects are fully funded, Chairperson, and that in the process we're also trying to build a very strong alternative of black companies that are beginning to participate in the construction business. And if you look at the figures that we are also putting for those companies to grow in partnership with the big ones, are steady escalating from 50 million 3 years ago, and now we can talk about 600 towards a billion rand, Chairperson. And that's the storyline that we wanted to share with you this morning. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for that. As requested or agreed upon, that we are to take notes. Thanks for that, Mr. CEO. Can we then have a water access commission? Thanks for that.
Honourable Members, thank you very much for this opportunity for the Water Research Commission to present to you. As the Chairperson of the Water Research Commission Board, I'm going to make a couple of introductory comments, and then I'll hand over to the CEO and the CFO to fill in all the details around that. Just to say that I think 2014-15 was a good year for the Water Research Commission. I think we all recognize that the Water Research Commission is an extremely important organization that is contributing very useful research, information, knowledge to the water sector in South Africa, but also internationally. And it's an organization that continues to build its reputation and its links in the international community as well. So I think in 2014-15, we continue to play our role as a thought leader in the water and sanitation sector in South Africa. We managed to recover from some of our audit challenges from the previous year. And I think that quite critically we moved forward in our drive to make sure that we're not only generating very useful research and knowledge, but that it is actually having very real impact on the lives of people. I think during the course of the year we also hosted two very important events. We supported the Minister of Water and Sanitation in organising the National Water Summit in August last year, which was attended by more than 400 people and was the start of a very important conversation around water and sanitation and how to move forward in that field in this country. We also co-hosted the Gender, Water and Development Conference, which was an international conference held in East London in November last year, which was extremely important in getting a discussion going internationally around the issues of gender, water and development, and it was the first conference of that nature held on the African continent, and coming out of it was a ministerial declaration around taking forward the issues of gender and water and development. So quite an important role, not only in South Africa, but beyond that. But within South Africa, I think we've also played some important strategic roles, shaping the development of a water research development and innovation roadmap to provide some kind of structured framework for research and innovation in the water and sanitation sector. We have done a lot around capacity building and transformation. The Water Research Commission has always played an important role in building capacity in the water sector. And I think what is important, and the CEO will give you the details, is that we have played a very strong role in actually building capacity and supporting students from historically disadvantaged backgrounds. So we're contributing to the transformation agenda of the country as well, while we build the next generation of researchers, academics, and in fact water and sanitation managers. We've also taken that forward in terms of building the changing the profile of who is leading the research projects of the WRC to make sure that in fact we have an increasing number of leaders from historically disadvantaged communities, and in fact now more than 60% of our research leaders come from designated groups, and the majority of them are under 50 years old, which is also great because it means that we're building a younger cadre of people to take over the leadership of research. So I think just to say that we're moving forward. I think the CEO will touch on some of the shifts that we've seen in the WRC and the focus and how those will carry forward as well. And just to make two final points, the one is that research, science and technology are absolutely critical to the future of this country, and I think that's been recognised by the government. One of the challenges that we have then is to make sure that there is in fact sufficient budget available for the research, science and innovation that is required, and that we are looking very hard in the WRC at how we can, through various mechanisms, actually increase the amount of money that is available to us, because the research that is needed to make sure that in a water-scarce country we can actually have the development we need is enormous. And then finally, just to say that the current board is coming to the end of its term of office. There is a process in place to appoint a new board. So on behalf of the existing members of the board, to thank the Portfolio Committee for their interrogation, their support, their oversight, to say thank you very much. And on that note, I think I'll hand over to the CEO to give you the details. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. There are a large number of slides that have been distributed. Rest assured, we're not going to go through all of them. But we thought it would be useful to give you details that you have at hand to organize for the dialogue that will continue. So I'm going to emphasize only some parts of each of the slides. The chairperson of the board has walked through the highlights of the financial year. So I'm just going to emphasize one or two of those points and in many cases illustrate them with examples. The first couple of slides in the introduction gives you a reminder of the mandate of the institution and how it organizes itself. This picture is the current accounting authority, and the new accounting authority will probably be in place, we've been told, before the end of the year. The organizational structure, which has now changed in 2015 around a modification of our strategy, but for the period of this report, this was the organizational structure of the organization, and now we want to talk very specifically to the performance and the performance targets. And these are divided into the research, development, and innovation targets, which is the core business of the institution. We also have some detail on the human resources internal to the institution, and of course the critical issue about the financial performance. And this issue has indeed been critical because this was the subject of the qualification in the previous year, and there are various things that have been done to make sure that that does not happen again. On the research portfolio itself, I think you would have seen the numbers, and the numbers say that we've met all of the targets, and in a few important areas we have exceeded those targets as well. And just to illustrate that around the research portfolio itself, this is how we've been looking over the past few years, and we thought that the five-year comparative would be a useful one. And what you would see is that the number of projects that have been finalized, and there are many very important intermediate products to each of the projects, but the finalizations of the projects as a whole is a very important marker. We have over the five-year period completed 421 such projects, and the number of projects being finalized per year is going to be averaging out around 80. The very large number that you saw at the beginning in the 2011-12 year, which was 96, was because there were many projects that had been outstanding in their finalizations from around 2004-2005, and we had to deal with a fair amount of backlog. We've done all of that. We now are on a very solid footing. The graph that you see underneath that is the initiation of projects, and there are two trends that are not so clear from the numbers. The one is that we're steadily moving into longer term, more complex projects that are multidisciplinary in nature, and that would dictate that the number of projects will decrease, but it hasn't. Because simultaneously to that, there are a number of short-term studies that we're doing to very directly support the policy decisions and, in fact, the implementation plans of government in various areas. And the new point of emphasis that has been pitched very strongly in the area of sanitation, which is why you see in total a larger number of the projects. But the numbers themselves tell some of the story. It's perhaps more important to look at some of the examples. So one of the things that you would have had in your pack in addition to the annual report is another report called the Knowledge Tree Report, which is talking about impact and the impact of the research. And the impact is divided into a number of baskets. The first of those baskets is the transformation of South African society. And the two projects that we're emphasizing here, the two thrusts, one is around the issue of sanitation. And in the area of sanitation, and the members of the portfolio committee have been very involved with the minister in this aspect around developing new sanitation, and the concept of new sanitation and the sanitation revolution was in fact introduced by the Deputy President at a summit that will be recorded and reported on in the current annual report. What we have found with our international partners is that in many of the areas, we are actually leading in non-waterborne sanitation, either dry sanitation or low flush sanitation with the likes of the poor flush system, etc. And this is critically important as many of the international organizations are now starting to borrow from us the technologies that are going to be used to eventually reach the sustainable development goals for the world as a whole. The second part of that is moving very rapidly around improving food production, nutritional security, and through that nutrition route, the attainment of a higher health status of the country while simultaneously organizing for many new players to come into the agricultural domain, in particular, smallholder women farmers. A second aspect in those baskets is the whole notion of sustainable development solutions. And it would not surprise you to know that South Africa is one of the leading countries in the world currently around some of our agricultural practices, and in particular the use of water in the agricultural practices. This does not mean that we don't have wasteful practice in the system. We have a lot of wasteful practice in the system. But we have to deal with this diversity of experience that we have in this country and move people closer and closer to the international benchmark. So one of the featured projects in this domain, and this has been done in four provinces in the country, is on high-value agriculture and in particular fruit tree orchards, where we've done some fairly sterling work. A second, and this is something that has had a lot of international accolade, and that's around reharvesting energy from the water system through means different from conventional hydropower. And the case in point here is conduit hydropower. And on the back of the WRC study, we now have demonstrators in the city of Chuane. We can report that the headquarters of Bloom Water, the water board, is now completely run off grid based on its own conduit hydropower. So it harvests the hydropower from the pipelines around it and runs the entire headquarters with that energy. And all of you will know that the city of Joburg has now put out a multi-million rand tender to have these interventions in the city of Joburg itself. In fact, they have a target of 500 megawatts eventually running inside the city. So this is not only about the water issues, it's about solving the energy issues simultaneously and organizing for a very useful water energy network. So continuing with some of the performance indicators in the research portfolio domain is the very critical issues associated with capacity building that the chair of the board emphasized earlier. The first thing to point out is that we are doing very well in the realm of students, and I'll show you some slides just now, both with regards to the number of students being accommodated in the WRC projects, and it is now around 500, but also in organizing for a diversification of the student population doing higher degrees in the water domain. And you will see that 83% of the students in the cohorts supported in this period actually come from the PDI group. As a further part of that transformation is organizing for more SMMEs to participate in the research domain. This is quite unique in the R&D world, in the South African public environment. And I think that the WRC actually leads in this domain, and we now have 32 SMMEs actually leading WRC projects. But to illustrate this with a couple of pictures around human capital development and the range, we have had not only inroads into the postgraduate frame, but are very significantly working quite successfully in the domain of school children as well. And I hope in the packs that have been distributed to you that you have a copy of our comic book called The 3033, which has proved to be an incredibly useful mechanism to get many more school kids involved in our program. Another important example is the MINISAP. And the MINISAP is a small protocol and kit that allows school kids to examine the aquatic environment around them, in particular the rivers, and be able to conduct credible assessments of the status of that river. And this is done in various localities in the country and are accumulated into a national database. And this is working very powerfully through all sorts of media, including more recently mobile phone media. And as you can see from the pictures, one of the new enthusiastic scientists is in fact the Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation, who got down and dirty inside the river. One really remarkable story around this is that at the youth summit in July, the school that won the mini-SAS competition actually comes from Madibe. And what they did was quite remarkable. On the back of the scientific work that they did as a school project to examine the river next to the school, they got a series of results that were interesting enough for them to invite the mayor of the town to come to a presentation, who in turn invited members of the provincial legislature to come to the presentation. And this has started a whole community movement around rehabilitating the water environment in a place in this country that not too long ago, a year ago, was making the headlines around water for the worst reasons possible for what happened in Bloemhof. So this is quite an interesting story. Just another note on the student distribution. You can see from that that the bulk of the students that are currently participating in our programs are Black African students, and by and large the majority are from the PDI group. But the idea is not a substitution mechanism of one group by another, but actually an expansion of the number of postgraduates that we have in the water space, and this is a mechanism for inclusivity. But the capacity building does not stop at school children and postgraduate students. It is also around building the generation of scientists and practitioners that we want in the water domain, and these are some examples from our projects that have been performed in the year in question. Then moving to the research portfolio targets further, you can see that we have paid a lot of attention to the HDI environment. And currently we can say that while in the previous financial year we did have the participation of all tertiary education institutions in the WRC project, the significant switch has been around project leadership, where we now have a significant number of projects led by historically disadvantaged institutions. And this is becoming quite common. And then in response to conversations that we've had with this portfolio committee and its predecessor, it's around changing the modalities of the project so that we actually have meaningful participation of communities in the project, and we achieved our desired target of having 20 community-based research projects in that financial year. And some of the examples associated with that is turning the conventional conservation agenda into an expanded agenda around sustainable environmental conservation, the conservation of our ecosystems through providing meaningful livelihood opportunities while preserving the environment. And the example on the left is around the wetlands project that we're doing around Isimangaliso. And we're also organizing for the development of smart technologies in order to organize for a diversification of supply. This is quite critical. And the picture on the right is fog water harvesting that we're now doing around the country. There are WRC has produced a fog water atlas for the country as a whole. And I want to point out here again that there's a very meaningful international relationship that is working in this domain. And the structures that you see there are actually been done in partnership with MIT in the States using very novel new nanotechnology around the way we do fog water harvesting, and it's become a prototype of something that's going to be carried by various organizations around the world. Then continuing with the targets, another mechanism by which we measure ourselves is around how we influence policy and decision making in a meaningful way. And in the domain of the mechanisms that we use, one of which is the ministerial and policy brief, this is an area where we fell short of the target by the 31st of March. These briefs were produced and signed off, but the delivery only happened a week later at the beginning of April. We apologize for that, and we've got mechanisms to make sure that that happens in a much more meaningful way this time around. We exceeded our targets around new innovations and products for the real economy by 2, moving to 22, and this is a really good number when compared to the other science councils that work in our domain. So some examples associated with policy and decision making. One is around the issue of water safety and the water safety of our communities in particular. And we've had several incidents over the last few years where people have had crises in various municipalities. We have provided something called the W2 RAP, which is a water safety mechanism for people to be able to respond in emergencies, as well as the long-term assessment of localities to deal with such events. The example on the right is we've become one of the leading players around the world around examining the issue of unconventional gas mining, in particular fracking, and ourselves, together with countries like Canada, the United States, China, and Australia, are now examining this issue in some detail with cross comparisons around the experiments that we've had in various parts of the country. And currently the South African repository on the impact on water of hydraulic fracturing is probably one of the most advanced in the world. Around new products and services for the economy, two examples that we haven't told you about in previous presentations. One is around the optimization of water use in our power station environment. And the figures are very, very stark, because in the comparison we have made between the dry cool systems that we use in our country and the now return to fleet systems because of the power shortages, the difference in the water use is a factor of 30 times. And this is now influencing the design and the further design around some of the work that's happening around IRP. The example on the right is around helping our hospitality industry to be much more water wise, and AquaSmart is now used by all of the major chains that operate their accommodation in South Africa. We included this slide because one of the issues that was raised in the budget debate earlier this year talks about the biases of the WRC towards urban research. There was no opportunity to respond to that in that forum, but we thought we'd bring the information out in the annual report. And as you can see from that, in the four KSAs that are the research route KSAs in the WRC, one of them deals with the urban environment specifically, and that's water use and wastewater management. And currently, 32% of our budget goes into that domain, while all of the rest of the funds are primarily in projects that are either completely national in nature or primarily in the rural areas of the country. So in fact, if there is an accusation, it is in fact in the other direction around the bias towards the rural areas. So continuing further around performance indicators, there are indicators around getting manuals, guidelines, supporting material to the places where they need to work, and there are some examples on the right that talk to this quite specifically, and also the partnerships that we use in order to get it done. So we have an ongoing partnership with SELGA, and SELGA becomes our primary partner around influencing municipality water use around the country and providing the support mechanisms around which that occurs. Then, Chair, on our own human resources, the percentage of staff from the designated groups inside the WRC currently stands at 89%. The percentage of staff that are black, 72%, and the percentage of women staffers in the WRC as at 31st March was 56%. And we have met the other parameters around our human resources target. The global indicators associated with our financial performance, the thing to emphasize, because it took a lot of introspection and a fair amount of work to make sure that this happened, is that the WRC went from a qualified audit in the 13-14 year to an unqualified audit in the year in question. And just a very quick view on the efforts that went along with that. Essentially, the restatement of the annual financial statement, the expenditure comments on irregular versus wasteful expenditure, and the consequent management, all related to the transactional environment around non-research procurement and the associated financial representation. And the threefold strategy that we successfully pulled off in this domain, one of which was we had a series of institutional and governance changes around procurement inside the WRC, and we now have what we think is a very sound environment. We've had some significant personnel changes in this period of time, and we now have a new financial team managing the helm of finances at the WRC, and a whole range of capacity building and training measures to ensure the sustainability of. You have a summary of the financial information, and I'm not going to go into any detail with that. I'm sure that when you raise it during the discussion, you can talk about it in a lot more detail, and our CFO is here to support that. And just to emphasize that some of the strategic initiatives in this period of time, although this was a ministerial initiative, it was the WRC initiative, this actually organized to significantly reorganize the platform around the way we had the water dialogue in this country, and this was the summit that we had in August of last year. It had a lot of participation from Parliament, from this portfolio committee, of course, as well as sister portfolio committees in land reform and some folks from agriculture. And it was the kind of inclusive conversation around the future of water and sanitation that we've been collectively calling upon for a long time. So our thanks to the political leadership for making this not only happen, but happen in a significant way that has radically changed the conversation that we've been having since then. Another thing that we'd really like to emphasize is our relationship with the science and technology sector, as we are a bridge institution between water and sanitation and science and technology. The chair of the board talked about the RDI roadmap, and we'll talk about that in much more detail in the current report. But in the year in question, the significant programs that have significantly moved this thing forward have been the Sanitation Technology Demonstration Program, as well as WADA, which is bringing many more opportunities around demonstrators and pilots. And here, these two have been spoken about, and I can report that the Gender, Water and Development Conference dialogue that was generated in East London in South Africa at this conference has now found international momentum and has become a significant feature of the World Water Week in Stockholm. So, Chair, on that note, I'd like to conclude the presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We have agreed that we shall have to take all of them at once, and then following shall be Brede Horrid. Thank you. Board.
Yes, we do have.
Where are the members? what has happened, because of the change of time, they are on their way. So we were meant to present the two. So they are on their way. So I'm not sure that proceed or...
Proceed.
Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Adamana Butelezi. I represent the Greater Forest Catchment Management Agency. The starting point is our vision is about quality water for all and forever, because we believe that water is for everyone and the quality of water should not be compromised. The layout of my presentation, I will first talk about the area of operation, where we operate from as the Greater Forest Catchment Management Agency, and then followed by the governance structure, which is the governing board, and I'll provide the summary of our organogram, not in details, but just a summary of it, and then coming to the understanding of the Greater Forest Water Management Area, followed by the catchment management area itself, and a background to our existence as an entity, and going from there, talking about the programs, which will be concluded with the financial report. Our area of operation as a Greater Forest Catchment Management Agency, we've got our head office, which is in Worcester, and we've just set up our satellite office, which is now in George. The intention of having this office is to ensure that the water users who are in the Horace water management area do not have to travel all the way to our offices. In terms of our governance structure,
sure. We're trying to get copies of your presentation. We only have the Usut. Ngoma to Usut.
Well, I don't know.
Did we...
I suppose.
Did we receive?
Then we can take Usut.
Can we do it this way? We certainly did receive the hard copies. Whilst they are organizing, can we also, if you don't mind, follow it on screen while copies are being organized? Are we fine with that, members? Are we fine with that? Sorry? We can do that, but what I can assure you is that it will take no less than 2 minutes in trying to set up. That 2 minutes is the 2 minutes that we can get somebody to go print and then come back. Okay, can we do it, okay? And who is that person who's going to go out and print?
There it is.
Where is that person? I saw two hands. Thank you. When are you going to do that? You're doing it right now. We are seeing you going out of the door. Thank you. Okay. Thanks.
Mother Prophet.
Okay.
I take it, Chair, I'm proceeding. Okay, thank you very much. As I said earlier on, we are governed by the governing board. Our governing structures, we've got four committees. The first one is the Audit and Risk Committee, followed by the Human Resources and Remuneration Committee, Technical Committee, and the newly created one is Water Use Authorization License Committee, in order to fast-track the water use license applications. In terms of our summary of our organogram, we are a triangle in the sense that we are three senior executive managers, the CEO, then the senior manager of water resources, and the chief financial officer. In terms of the area that we used to be responsible for before the merger, this is the one which is approximately 20,000 square kilometers, which shows the interlink with the city of Cape Town. We are functionally linked to the economy of Cape Town, and we are one of the most agricultural producing water management area in the country. We have therefore got a direct contribution to the South African gross domestic product. for us, water is key, not only in terms of the gross domestic product, but also in terms of creating jobs and making some financial contributions to the development of our water management area. And now, since May 2014, our area of operation increased. It jumped from 20,000 square kilometers to 70,000. So it has increased substantially. Hence, we've got an office in George to serve that portion that was under service before. Then maybe to just provide an overview of our evolution as an entity, we are established under the National Water Act, established by the Department of Water and Sanitation. We directly report to the department and the board report to the minister. The first board that was appointed in 2007, it was a representative board representing all the key sectors of the economy, be it the emerging farmers, be it the commercial farmers, and the conservation body. From 2007 to 2010, we began to fulfill our obligations as we are performing our functions. I think I was appointed at that time as the CEO of the entity. And then in December 2010, we further received additional delegations by the former Minister Mulewa as we continue to prove that the catchment management agency is the right approach that mobilizes the local stakeholders to get involved in the business of water. In May 2014, we were merged with the former Horace Water Management Area to create one management area. Since there was a reduction in numbers from 19 to 9, we were merged to create one water management area, which is now the responsibility of the Greater Horace Catchment Management Agency. On the 15th of January this year, our Honorable Minister May Mukunyani gave us further delegations, which includes, amongst other things, the processing of licensing, but not only that, the issuing of directives and so on and so forth. So the scope increased because we're continuously making an impact on the ground, we continuously work with our local authorities and so on and so forth. Then the strategic priorities that our annual report is based on, these are the following: water resource planning, water use management, institutional engagement, water allocation reform, resource protection, information systems, strategic support, management, and governance. In terms of our employment equity, we are a fairly representative organization. We are currently have a staff complement of 29. We are continuing to grow. In terms of our projections, we should be 60 before the end of the financial year because of that organic growth where Horace became part of us. In terms of our strategic priority areas, when it comes to water resource planning, we have various activities which include our recommendations and comments regarding the land use planning and rezoning of applications that we received either from our local authorities or from the province insofar as water issues are concerned. I must say it has changed, unlike in the past, like for example in the areas of the land reform program, the way issues where you find that the historical disadvantaged individuals were given the land without any water rights. So with our establishment, that has changed in the sense that they rely heavily on the comments that we provide. Not only that, even with the subdivision of land, if there are no water issues, the municipality will think twice before it grants permission to that. In other words, there has been visible changes on the ground. We have engaged with all our 8 local authorities on water use planning on approximately about 50 issues. This includes mainly the wastewater treatment works. In certain areas where there were capacity problems, as the CMA, we did our best to provide support. In areas where there were challenges in terms of water obstruction, water quality, we worked with the local authorities by putting monitoring points that we do on a monthly basis to improve the water quality of those areas. And we have seen what we call improvements there.
We also completed our Onrab River Water Quality Objective Report. This is a report in line with the overstrand municipality who wants to abstract groundwater there. We want to ensure that all the water users, they have same share and the quality of each water user is reached. We also concluded the on-rise surface groundwater interaction study report as part of the water use license application. I mean, to simplify, there's a river running across the mountain and it's not far away from the point where they want to abstract that water. We want to see if that application is granted, would it not affect the flow of the river so that those who are downstream are not affected, adversely. So that's part of what we did at the CNA. We are also looking at the salinity in all our areas, because salinity is our main problem. Furthermore, we had to stop the development of the catchment management strategy. We did the draft, but we had to discontinue because we were matched with the forest, and in terms of the law, they must be only one same as in the catchment management area. That is all about water resource planning, which is about planning for the future. What would be the status of water in the future? Now, I'm going to talk about water use management, which is mainly more administrative. It's about water use registration, water license application, and the validation and verification process. On the water use registration, we had to develop a system where we know what are the water users in our area and what kind of water they are using, so that we've got a better picture. That information was not there before our assessment, or rather it was not that that authentic as it is now. So we dedicated our focus to ensure that we know about the status of our water, mainly about the usage of water in our area. When it comes to water use license application, before the new delegation on the 15th of January, we're working with the department. We're recommending authority. We'll provide recommendations on these licenses. But now, since the delegation rests with us, we'll be making the final decision. Water use compliance, we have done a number of inspections, and these inspections are to ensure that we eliminate all those who are illegally using the water, which some people are called them the water thieves. We want to ensure that it does not exist, because if more water is illegally used, we do not know what would be the adverse consequence, not only on the economy, but also in terms of promoting water allocation reform by involving those who have been out in the past. We also concluded the validation and verification process, which in terms of our system, it was well run. Out of the entire process, there's about 10% who appealed as per the legislation. If they're not happy about the results that we are giving, at least now we're in a better position to know what kind of water that we have in our area, who is using water, and what purposes. I must say this process has its own challenges. One of the challenges is the fact that at times you rely on the imagery, and then at times they will question even the imagery that we use. But I think we handled reasonably well. On the institutional engagement, the most important aspect of our National Water Act is to devolve the management of water resources to the community at large. Hence, this program talks about our engagement with the water users. We have a number of engagements where we join partners with relevant departments and with relevant initiatives. For example, we reached about 6,200 people, which includes the youth, because we believe that the youth is our future. If we get them involved in the business of water resources, that also improved the water sector. Instead of destroying what has been there, such as the wetlands committees, the well committees in the past, And then we decided to work very closely with those communities to ensure that the business of water is not left out. I think through our involvement and through our initiatives, we mobilized more people to get interested. But not only those who are well known, but everybody. Like we are working with Masaza and Women's Water Forum, which is a forum which is largely represented by women, whom we have even provided with funding to run water-related projects, because we believe that it is through visible actions that you can talk about water resources to everybody. We also regulate, in terms of regulation of water management institutions, we had a challenge there. We could not complete what we wanted to do. The reason is very simple, that there was a change of policy direction insofar as Water Users Association is concerned, so we packed that one for now. When it comes to water allocation reform, this is the sector that we are really prioritizing because we want to ensure that transformation in water is realized. We also provide tangible support to our resource poor farmers insofar as applications of sources of concern, but also in terms of organizing funding in relation to their agricultural activities. Here we are working very, very closely with the Department of Agriculture in combining recommendations that we provide to the department to make more funding available for our resource poor farmers. We are also involved in terms of rainwater harvesting tanks. As we all know, that certain areas of our area has challenges of water, so in those areas we try to prioritize the rainwater harvesting tanks where we make them available to our communities. When it comes to another strategic objective, which is resource protection, we monitor the quality of our water. We've got monitoring points where we know in major rivers what is the quality of the water. We take monthly samples, and those monthly samples are analyzed by accredited laboratories. In areas where there are problems, we engage with the municipality or we engage with a particular water user to improve. If there is no improvement, of course, we take a hard step. We are using a two-pronged approach. We're using a carrot and stick approach. We apply the carrot when it is required, and we apply stick when it is required. In terms of our performance information, we have been doing reasonably well. There were problems that were audited. All our programs were unqualified. They were found to be above board, and they were found to be compliant with the requirements. So all our programs received unqualified audit reports. In terms of our strategic support to human resources, we achieved everything there. We develop policies. We continuously provide capacity training and building to all our staff through our partnerships, like the entities in the Netherlands and other entities in the country. In terms of water resource planning, I think that one has been covered. In terms of the performance information, institutional stakeholder relations, I've mentioned that when we look at what we proposed last year as an example, last year the target was 1,600, but we exceeded the target. We reached 6,200, and then the rest is as per the slide space, unless if I go through all of it, I think that's all. When it comes to water allocation reform, our target on the number of resource poor farmers or HDRs which were supposed to be supported by us last year, the target was 5, but the output which was audited was 22. I must also stress this is demand driven. At times, if it's demand driven, to set up the target is quite a challenge. But the principle that we are following is we need to achieve 100% at least in order to respond to our communities.
And I must also say that our offices have become a center of interaction with all sorts of water users. The business of water resource management requires everyone to get involved. It's not a top-down approach, but it's a bottom-up approach. Under water resource planning, we are doing this project on behalf of the department, and the project that we are continuously doing for the department, because they are quite exceptionally satisfied with the work that we are doing. Having said everything, what has been the output? The output, since our inception, we have been receiving unqualified audit reports. Even in the last financial year, we received unqualified audit reports, and it's in our view, we think that is important. But also, what is more important, even though we receive this unqualified audit report, but there must be visible and tangible improvement on the results on the ground. I must say that we invested in mainly integrated labor on many targets where we removed the So my point is, as much as it is important to strive for unqualified audit reports, it must be equally important to ensure that there are visible changes on the ground. So it's something that we have managed to balance throughout the years. I think this one is our finances and what has happened. And as you would know, we have utilized our finances exceptionally well. Otherwise, our financial system would be unqualified. So I think that we are also working on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. And in terms of the discrete 59.4% for the employee cost, we provide service. And that service we provide to students, we don't charge for. And the public is like that. This is simply illustrates the cost for the past 3 years. I think in conclusion, we never know the worth of water until the well is dry. But more importantly, for us to move forward as a country, investing in the CMA is the right approach. We have seen it in our own area of operation. And more importantly, without relying on water management institutions such as the Water Rights Association, it becomes a challenge. On that note, thank you very much, Chair. Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome to the Chair. That's the Chair.
Chair of Inkumadi. Inkumadi, Inkumadi.
Confused them all the time. Without waste of time, we shall have to allow the Nkomati Usut.
Yes, very much.
Usut.
To the member.
You can switch off your mic, Mr.
As well as the department. My name is Patience Nyakani Maduka. I'm the chairperson of the Inkomati Usutu Catchment Management Agency Governing Board, and I am accompanied by the acting CEO, Dr. Godi Diede Ababu, as well as our executive corporate and finance, Madam Tembelihle Njajimbana. Our catchment area covers almost 90% of the Mpumalanga province, the most beautiful province in the Republic of South Africa, as well as part of the KwaZulu-Natal, the Usutu CMA, the most beautiful page in the KZN. A program director, our transition is that we are from the Ingoma Catchment Management Area, which was previously merged with the Usutu area. And hence now, the name is the Inkomati Usutu Catchment Management Area. The transition was finalized last year, and the board was also appointed, and the inaugural meeting was in July 2014. As a result of the merger, we were engaged with the meeting, and we had three governing board meetings ever since the merger. We also engaged the stakeholders from the Usutu area, which was a success. Last year, we had a very interesting, we hosted actually a conference which is called REMCO, the River and Environmental Conference, which is actually held by NUID within the catchment area. It's hosted by the Kingdom of Swaziland and or the Republic of Mozambique, or by our counterparts in Netherlands or Germany. So we have hosted it successfully. This year we are also hosting the very first of its kind in the Republic of South Africa, the women in the CMA conference. We are going to host it in December, and I would like to take this opportunity to invite your good self as a honorable MP and members of the Water and Sanitation Community. If it's possible, we can really appreciate. We are going to host this conference during the first week of December. The meeting is not yet finalized because we are still engaging the ministry. Once we get a go ahead, we'll be able to inform you. We also, again, ever since our inception, we pride ourselves by always getting an unqualified audit opinion, and even the presentation that is going to be made by our officials here, we are also proud to inform you and announce that we still got an unqualified audit opinion last year. And on that note, we also have the minister who is always supporting us, as well as the DG and management and officials of the department. They are always supporting us. And also from the IDCMA, the governing board is very much on point. Our management is very much supportive. Our officials are always working very hard to make the CMA work. And before I hand over, I just want to emphasize that ever since we were the ICMA as well as the IUCMA, we have made strides in the catchment area. Our impact has been felt whenever we go and make presentations to our stakeholders. They always emphasize that ever since there were CMAs, their lives have been elevated to a better level, and which means that in South Africa, if we want to see our economy growing, more especially from agriculture, the only way to do it is to make it a point that we implement the Kingfisher project and speed up the process of coming up with the other CMAs that are yet to be made in South Africa, because the only way in which we can be able to change the lives of the people of South Africa is to come up with the other catchment management areas, because it will make, it will fast-track the lives, the betterment of the lives of this country. Let's make it a point that the CMAs are in place very soon. In that way, we shall make a better life for everybody in South Africa, more especially the rural community. Thank you very much. The actual presentation shall be taken forward by Dr. Thomas and Madam Kembenike. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair and honorable members, my name is Thomas Njedu Ababio. I'll take you through our annual report quickly. With me is Mrs. Mbata, our CFO. Our presentation centers on our strategic objectives, our water management area, and an overview of our performance, that is, performance description. I will first of all look at our strategic objectives, which are five. The performance descriptions I'm going to talk about are all based on these five objectives: ensuring effective and sustainable management of water resources, ensure collaborative and coordinated integrated water management versus economic development, effective and efficient management of IUCM resources, promoting knowledge generation and distribution, and then promoting and pursuing international developmental agenda. This is as a result of our location, where we have a country bordering us. The programs that we're doing include achieving equity, water availability, and flow management, managing water quality, generating and managing knowledge, achieving compliance and enforcement, and then generating some revenue. If you look at the map on the board, you will see that IUCMA is bordered by Mozambique on the east, and then we have Olifants on the west, Olifants on the north, Val on the west, and then we have Pongola to the south. We have Swaziland as part of our catchment, actually. We share some of the rivers. If you look at the next slide, you see the rivers and the dams that we share. Kruger Park, an important part of our catchment as well. So that is so that people understand why we do what we do, because of our location and the people we are also in collaboration with. On the overview, we look at the delegation that we received from the minister last year, as my chairperson has already alluded to. Progressive development of corresponding capacity to go with the delegations that we got. verification and validation, which we are doing very seriously. We already finished with the validation in the committee. Water quality management, section 19 and 20 of the National Water Act. Knowledge generation and sharing at the global level. Water use licensing, which also came as part of the delegation. WOM functionality at the IUCMA. Building partnerships for sustainable integrated water resource management. Accomplishing reporting requirements. Management of risk. Supporting water management institutions, and that's our stakeholders. Empowering stakeholders, and then the Lesotho footprint. I will go to our key achievement. Under governance, which is page 41 of our annual report book, I'm sure members have got that one. So in the year under review, all meetings were convened in accordance with our 2014-15 APP. We had three governing boards at the time, chair. One was the old one. Then we had the interim board after we had amalgamated with the Lesotho before the new board came. And that's why I bring every table. The table that I have given is for the new governing board, the meetings that they attended during the year. I want to talk about compliance, regulatory compliance. We received the delegations I've mentioned, Chair, on the 2nd of May 2014. Then we had to do our five-year strategic plan, which we successfully did. Then, because of the amalgamation, we had to amend our 2015-16 APP. That one too was successfully done. When it comes to achieving marketing and communications, trying to popularize the organization, the actual tables are found on page 42 of our booklet. The summary is on page 26. Due to the demand, we had more projects advertised in both local and then national electronic and print media. We had a revised classification, which we jointly did with the department. Media partnership with the National Water Week, which is a very important part of our calendar. Career Expo, this time it was held at the PSB, Sugar. International Water Resource Management Engagement. The Inkomati Float, which is our newsletter we publish biannually. We receive international coverage because we are part of the International Water Association, IWS, and then International Basin Organization. So they are also publishing for us. On proper resource protection and waste, we monitored all the 200 monitoring sites that we have, and then we took samples and analyzed. Our annual water quality status report, Chair, if members will remember, we brought copies to all of you last year when we met again. We met here. The report showed that not only the status of water resources that we do, but we also profiled all the wastewater treatment facilities in our area of jurisdiction. The discharge of wastewater from these facilities poses by far the highest risk to water quality, river health, as well as the health of communities around. We did our river health as indicated. I've put a table there to show how we fared when it came to resource sampling on page 46. Because of no flow in some of the rivers, we did not manage to achieve all our targets. We're supposed to do 2,268, but then we managed 2,175 because of no flow in some of the rivers. And then because we also took over the monitoring from the KZN, they were helping us. We have now completely taken over the function. Chair and honorable members, I've put some photographs to show that our monitoring activities achieving good results. If you can see the manhole at which wastewater treatment works, I've indicated before our action and then after our action, everything has now been cleaned up. This one is found in the Sagi town in the Tabashu municipality. There is another one in Hazyview. Hazyview, that is the 20 pump. It was bad sending wastewater into the river. We had to use our compliance and monitoring enforcement to ensure that it was put nicely into this, which is actually benefiting all of us, and we're happy with the Mbombela municipality. Still under water resource protection, we had 25 reported pollution incidents, and we responded to all of them according to our standards and procedures. A total of 200 inspections were conducted as compared to the planned 145. So this was because we had to do follow-up inspections to check our compliance monitoring. I have put this map again, Chair, just to show you that when it comes to the green drop, the IUCMA is doing quite well, helping and supporting our stakeholders. The green drop map, as indicated last year, you see on the right, top there, the biggest green area you see is in our water management area, which means that we're doing quite well. Although we have got problems, we've managed to help our stakeholders, Mbombela, and the other municipalities to achieve the green drop status. Effective enforcement, Schedule 3, Section 1920, we issued notices, 19, 31 directives, and this actually helped to get us to the green drop that I was talking about and the pictures that I showed you. Our stakeholder empowerment interaction is very, very effective. Catchment management forums are working effectively. Even now, the Usutu one, Mkondo one is doing very, very well. We have empowerment workshops for both students, the HDI, as well as the highly resourced farmers. As you can see in the pictures, we interact during Water Week and then Career Expo with the students, top left, and then the HDI, top right, as well as the highly resourced farmers, so that we are all on the same level. We are advised on how to assess the water rights, how they can apply for it, and then how we can use water nicely. So on validation and verification, we started and then we finished the validation part of Nkomati, about 5,000 properties. In fact, 5,140 properties have already been validated, page 43. And then we are now sending our letters for the verification. Then we have also started with the Usutu doing some studies before we can go into the actual verification. About over 900 letters have been signed for the verification aspect. So we believe that hopefully we can finish in the next financial year. This is also some transformation, Chair. After we finished with the validation, we realized that our catchment is transformed quite reasonably. We've got people who were previously disadvantaged now having water rights and then using water. This is water by volume. S1 is the Komati, S2 is the Krokroda catchment, and S3 is the Sabi plant. We will continue to ensure that transformation takes place in all the catchments in the water management area. When it comes to systems for integrated planning, we have developed two operating systems, one on the Sabi, one on the Crocodile. This helps us to manage the flow. When we have a dry season, we meet at the committee and then decide we're going to release this much from the dam so that everybody gets water. If there is too much water, we ask the people, you don't abstract from the river. The graph here shows how some of our system models are working. These have been programmed in such a way that whenever there is flow, we have high flow, information will be sent to the cell phone to indicate that we have critical flow. Then we can inform stakeholders downstream so that the other move away, they prepare themselves. This is a very good tool which is helping us. The other graph, the other map you see, is also telling us all the monitoring stations that we have when it comes to flow. So if you sit at the office, you can check which flow, which site is giving you which amount of water at a particular time. And this is helping very, very much. Authorized water use, the licensing.
Eight applications were recommended for approval, and one general authorization also confirmed. The Water Authorization and Registration Management System Office has been set up, and this is a very important milestone in our operations, because for you to do licensing and everything, you need a WOM, which we finally got installed last year. We have employed the data capture and the coordinators. They are busy working at the office. When it comes to the planning tools, with cooperative governance, the sister departments or provincial departments, we received 9 EIAs, and then we commented on all of them. We also received 3 EMPs, environmental management plans, and then we commented on all of them, which was a very good one for us as well. So, like I said, if you look, we have international neighbors, so we also embark on international liaison. And we have what we call the Community Joint Operation Forum, KJOP, of COBOA. We actively support them and we share ideas. We make presentations to them, and then they said, okay, IUPMA, we're going to use your model as well, but let's try to use your model for 1 year, use ours for 1 year, compare results. If yours is better, then we'll go your way, which is, we were very pleased with that, which is very good. We have also got training relationships to share knowledge with our Water Cup Switzerland in the Netherlands. And the spin-off from those relationships, Chair, have been very, very good when it comes to water resource management. This mutual learning has resulted in the hydronet water control room. If one comes to our place, we see a big satellite on top of our building. We're able to manage, monitor what is going on in our catchment. We set up a satellite dish, like I said. The RIMCO conference, like the chairperson talked about, also came as a result of our training with the Netherlands, with the Mozambique, and with the Switzerland. So we meet to discuss river and environmental management issues. We have also got IT solutions for river operations as well, which also we got from sharing ideas with the people. Sometimes they share the cost with us, and then the ZGNG International Local Government Capacity Conference in Netherlands, we made a presentation there about our project, and we got the second prize for that, which was very good. That opportunity granted us to have interacting with other people from Africa and the world. This is about rainfall. All the squares there, our satellite can indicate. If you click on any of the squares, it will tell you how much rain has fallen, and the dates are down there on the X-axis. So we have got a technically very much improved up to date technology to monitor our rainfall and flow. Water resource planning, preliminary, in fact, this is part of our CSI as well. We investigate what is happening with some stakeholders, and they tell us, hey guys, we have a problem with our weir. The weir has been washed off, and they were going to build again, but then we asked our engineers to investigate, and we found out that there was no bedrock where we can have a structure put on. So that idea had to be abandoned, and we saved money. We do dam safety inspection, and if you can go down, when we go to our financial report, we see that we do get some income from the dam safety inspections. We got specialists that help the people around the smaller dams, like La Morte Dam. We have done investigation, the Lake Mystery. We do all this, and then we advise the people. We have also got a project of drilling and testing boreholes so that people around can get water. We have used one of them as a very good CSI for a school. When we tested the water quality was good. Then we said, we can use this one for your activities at the school. So we're trying to help our community through our operations in the field. Risk management, Chair. There has not been any variance from the expected performance with regard to effective internal controls and risk management. The quarterly risk registers were produced and submitted to the governing board via the audit committee. Financial aspects, we found financial services rendered as exemplified by our IR checklist, having been fully compliant with the PFMA. Also, in keeping with the spirit of PFMA, the ICMA has timely submitted required financial performance report, and I'm sure the Chair and the honorable members will see from what was presented yesterday that the IUCN is not doing bad at all. 100% quarterly financial reports to the Minister and the National Treasury, we do that. And like the Chair also alluded to, we have got unqualified audit opinion last year as well. Chair, I will quickly run through the financial aspect. Statement of financial performance. Yeah, as compared to 2014, our revenue was 54 million, and then 114,000 other income that I talked about, some of the dam safety inspections, which is very good for us. Then we have the financial position as at the 1st of March 2015. Assets, the current assets and then non-current assets. The total assets given as 25 million, 258. And then we look at our liabilities as well. Our current liabilities and non-current liabilities. Accumulated surplus, we would say, is about 12 million, 400,000. This is our employment equity table. As of last year, the total number of members, staff members, were 53. Currently, we are 63. We are aiming towards 75. And then this kind of, it's a good representation of the demographic of our water management area. Sure, there is nothing you will do without challenges. And then I have listed a few challenges. We have operating rules. We were supposed to do the CAP one, but we couldn't do that last year. We are trying to finish it this financial year. Water allocation reform is part of our plan, but we have to finish with the P&V. If we are able to finish with the verification and validation, then we know how much water is there. Then we can decide out of this water, maybe 75 will go to HDI, 25 will go here. But we want to finish with the verification and validation before we take that decision. One of the main challenges here is pollution problem. Although we've done well, like I've shown, we still have a pollution problem in the wastewater treatment work. Because of the health risk. So we are continuously interacting with our people. So I said, apart from the notices, directives, and the police cases we opened last year, three of them, interactive structures have been established with relevant structures to find the solutions to the problem. We interact with SAGA, COCTA. We even convene water quality management workshops together, and this is helping. Now I can say Nkomazi is doing quite well. Bobella is joining in this room. Sir, I thank you.
Are you okay? Covered, Chair? Okay.
But maybe the other thing that I can indicate is that as and when the equipment are coming, will be able to assist.
It was indeed record time. You managed to cover all the entities. There's four of them. Trusting that members have been taking questions. maybe just a few comments before members come in. From where I am seated, I think it is only Water Research Commission that is using the Auditor General for its books, am I right? Just as an observation, and I also hear that while the Environment Department is dealing with the Working for Water program, you still do have some water entities that are involved in such a program. I hear from uh,
Here the Forest Placement Management Agency, that they are involved in an alien vegetation program, doing away with that alien vegetation. I'm not too sure if there are any other entities that are involved in such a program. And I also do hear that you deal with water use licenses as well, as entities. Whether you I know for a fact that the department is dealing with those as well. Is that not duplication, or is this one and the same thing? If you can also comment on that. I'm puzzled when I listen to comments being made by Nkomati Sotho related to pollution from wastewater treatment activity. Having been to a few of them, I'm trying to reason in my own little mind about, you know, how that happened. Yeah, members, those are a few just comments that I'm sure officials are to respond. Mrs. Marula, okay?
Thank you, Chair. On the presentation of TCTA, it was silent in terms of how are they going to address the issues of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Because on their annual report, there are a lot of issues that has been raised. For example, giving the one that they didn't get three quotations for fuel on their procurement. The other one is on WRC also. They didn't talk about those issues because they have the other one, which is 500,000 tender. That was not, the bidding was not invited. So they didn't give us the, how are they going to address those issues so that next time they get a clean audit. Also, Chair, on the issues of staff, we know that we have the president has requested all of us that we must make sure that we get 2% in terms of disabled people. You will see 1.4% every year. Now I'm close to 6 years in Parliament, but every department will tell you about 1.4%. I don't know what is difficult of getting that 2%. Can the TCTA also tell us how are their strategies to get this 2%? Because I think this issue of people with disabilities, people are just looking at it as something that is not important, but which is also important because those people were neglected during other years, but now we want them to come out because there are those who are educated, those who can come, but we don't have strategies to bring them out. So I want to check with them how are their strategies so that we get this 2%, because it's long overdue. To all entities, how are they, or what are their strategies to get those to that 2%? I've seen here the Nkomati Sotho. You are an acting CEO for how many years? Because even last year you were here presenting as an acting CEO. What is happening? Is it difficult to get a CEO? And then I don't understand how it will be difficult if you have an acting, because there's somebody there if you don't have someone outside. Because people will say we don't have qualified people, but they will have acting people who are qualified in the positions. So I want the clarity, how long is this CEO going to be in the position? I think, Chair, my main challenge, my main concern is in terms of people with disabilities in all the presentations, and also the strategies in terms of the youth, because you remember also the president have raised the issue of making sure that we do employment for our youth. So when we see these numbers of employment, can we also get how many youth are there? Or how many youth did you prepare for the whole year? How many did you get so that we can maybe address the challenges that we are facing in the country? Thank you, Chair.
So, Mr. Makondo, and then we shall go that direction.
Thank you, Chair. I guess it's supposed to go towards the catchment management agencies, the issue that you have raised, Chair. Whether that Mr. Singh talks to the capacity that is there in the department, the issue of delegation by the minister to CMAs in relation to licenses. Because I also agree with the Chair that it's a duplication. But we'll request an explanation in relation to that. Because all the presentation that we have received, they do talk to that mandate delegated by the minister. On the presentation by Brad Corey, the issue of staff. On their presentation, Chair, they underplay their vacancy rate. They just said, we are at 29, we are going to move to 70 by the end of this financial year. To me, that talks to vacancy rates within the management, catchment management agents. So I'll want them to talk to that and how are they going to deal with it. The financial year, and I think it's in 4 months in actual fact, if you count from November, which is just around the corner. What processes have they put in place to make sure that they deal with the vacancy rates that is there, and what type of people that are needed there, whether they are technicians, I think we need to be informed. The TCCA, can we be briefed in relation to your land acquisition, your expropriation of land when you're dealing with this big project that you are involved in, how difficult it is and how are you managing it? Because some of the projects that you are implementing, you had to move people so that you implement those particular projects. How difficult is the situation and how best are you managing it? I'm raising this because the department had a serious challenge in relation to the construction of the Nandoni Dam. There were some challenges there, so I wanted to understand. But on the project that you have mentioned that you are implementing, you did not indicate it to work. And there are issues at work as we speak that relate to the drainage by the mining company in relation to the completion of that particular project. And of the project that you have implemented, I think that is the one, that is the project which I call the deal went wrong. How big is the problem there, and how are you managing? Of course, we received an explanation from the DG yesterday that relates to the things which the minister is trying to bring the mining companies on the table. But in actual fact, it was yourself involved there. Can you brief us how big is the problem there? The Water Research Commission is a very good presentation that you have presented, but I want to just pose a challenge with the issue that is affecting the country, the issue of the heat wave. Heat wave, which I think it's affecting the manner in which every living organism in the country that relates to consumption of water. And given the situation that farmers are using almost 62%, if this can continue for a month, definitely we're going to have a problem. And if you check across the country, dams are going down. What other research that are in place or you will be coming with in order to make sure that farmers in particular, they reduce the use of water so that we are able to deal with the challenge that we have, because South Africa is a scarce, it's a water scarce country, and if the situation continues, we are going to have a very serious problem. So those are the issues that I want to raise. Thanks very much.
Presentation, the book you've made really interesting reading. I'd actually like to spend some time and visit some of your offices or projects on that. With regards to the role of reading your policy mandate, with regards to your role in advising the department, specifically in relation to forward planning for scenarios like the drought, climate change and drought, what role have you played in preparing the department and advising the department in, or how to prepare for these kind of scenarios? Specifically, as my colleague has just indicated, the kind of situation that we face, as well as I think part of your policy mandate here is also in relation to governance, planning and management of supply and delivery of water. Looking at that specifically, there is the water losses, the current water losses, which sits at 37%, I think the national average, which equates to 7.2 billion, which is an enormous amount of money. How has the WRC assisted the department to curb these losses in, obviously, you're not going out there fixing the infrastructure, but finding with regard to major contributory factors, what information is passed from you over to the department to assist them in curbing these losses, and possible solutions as well that you may have. And the pore crack system, I'm actually quite intrigued by that. I'd just like to know a bit more about that, the cost, sustainability, lifespan, construction, implementing it. As I see in your book, as you said, schools, you're putting these up in some of the schools. How is that working? I'd like to know about that as well, please. And then just in Kumasi, I have a bit of a concern. The Crocodile River, the water catchment, so my research has shown me that that is the most stressed catchment in the country. How are you managing the pollution in that area, specifically from the Nelfreth industrial area? How are you managing that? And the Quena Dam, can you give us an indication of the status of that dam, please? Of the water levels, the water quality, specifically salinity and the eutrophication, please. And the water abstraction, I think the water abstraction from that area is actually quite high. For the particularly in the low south area where you've got your fruit farming, how is that being managed? Because I think that is stressing the water supply in that area as well. So if you can elaborate a bit on that as well, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if I can start with TCTA. Question on the Crocodile Makolo pipeline, which is phase two. If I don't know whether I have understood the presenter correctly, that project has been completed, because as far as I know, there's still busy with the EIA on that pipeline. It's 170 meters of pipeline that needs to be built, and the indication in the written question was that pipeline will only be completed somewhere in 2017. Second question to them, could you be explained the royalties we pay to Lesotho? I see that it differs percentage wise, and 2014 we paid 16% of our total cash flow went to them, and then 14% in the next year. It makes a huge amount. It's 1,109 million rand in 2014 and 989 million in the next financial year. That's two questions to them. Then to the water research, I'm very much interested in the hydropower. I just want to find out, and I also want to applaud them with their presentation, whether they are involved with Rand Water, because Rand Water indicated that they are looking at hydropower within their pipelines, and if possible, what is the cost to put in hydropower in pipelines? If you've done that research, that would be very interesting. Then on Brera Solar, see, I'll put the same question that you've got of them being authorized to issue water licenses. I think in general the question then would be is that to the department, whether that function has been delegated to the Brera Gourets and only to them, or have you delegated the issue of water licenses to all the water boards? So if we can get clarity on that. Otherwise, I would want to congratulate them with their outcomes and their report. Then on the next one is on the last presentation we had in Kumasi. I just want to find out, you on page 10 of the presentation, you mentioned the sewer problems, the chairperson also alluded to it. My question is, you've issued 29 notices and 31 directives. I would like to know what was the outcome of that, because in a lot of the questions that we asked the department, we would get answers. If there's a sewer spillage in the area, then we will get an answer to say, yes, but in June I have sent them a notice. But what then? What happened after that? and that is a problem that we experience, that the department would say, I've done my work, I have sent out all the water board, I've sent out a notice, but then spillage goes on. And how do you follow that up, and what was the outcome of those 29 notices and 31 directives? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, colleagues and officials. I will start from the first presentation, which is TCTA. From the booklet that they gave us, that big booklet, on page 227, they made some explanatory notes on the formulations of the expiring of contracts and also overspending. If they can clarify on the issue of planning, how do they plan if in the middle of delivering a service, the contract just expires, so they have to ask for condemnation. Which also includes cell phone roaming and so forth for CEO. I want to congratulate you for taking action when you see that people are not towing the line. You have held most people very accountable. I have noticed the insurance that was not authorized, subscription to allocated, unoperated a network, and so forth. But this corruption that happened on page 235, first priority, which involves managers, what is the status quo as we speak? To the Water Research Commission, I'm moved by this, by the way you want hotels to use water efficiently. And this poor flush sanitation which is done in Opo. I'm a bit concerned about the audit, the report by the AG, which includes the finances. If you can clarify, you will remember in your report you indicated that you used amounts more than 500,000 without inviting competitive bids. That's what the report says. And then also you are using contracts and quotations that you award to bidders that didn't score highest points in the evaluation. If you can explain on those issues. And also on the issue of leadership, if you can clarify that the AG has indicated on the booklet that we received last week, on the issue of monitoring and evaluation, and mostly on issues where you have to review financial statements. And then on greater forests, I'm moved by the way you have got all qualification and qualification results from the report on all your programs. It says taking the step in the right direction, you're doing very well on the board. But I'm having a challenge on the issue of this water use management and water use authority, where you are indicating in your documents that out of the 500 that you was your target, 377, and the other one which was 16, only 9 were able to, on the water use authority, was able to be achieved. What is the way, what is your way of checking? Because my belief is when you submit things physically, when a person submits a document physically, there should be some checking. And you are saying the document, the forms were incompletely done. That is why they did not get through authorization. And even in the IT, you see, when you want to get a ticket for a flight, if it is not complete when you are doing an IT, it will indicate that you did not finish completing the first plan. Go back to the first plan. How is your plan on that? How do you deal with those issues? And then, Usuchi, Nkomati. Demos are getting dry. What is your plan? What is your plan? Because most of the dams, they are getting dry. I'll make one example. There's a dam and around Kudu Farm in Lowry there. So the community is using that one. It was also used for education. Well, what is your plan on that, on those dams that are getting dry? And on the issue of, there are a lot of mines around Rawachon and the like. Did you ever make a study to check whether there might be an AMD, the acid mine drainage? Did you make a study to check? Because we are getting there. I'm told that there's a lot of water in those mines, Agnes mine, if you can check and the like. And how many are these rivers with no flow? And what are they? If we can get and how is the magnitude of the pollution in those and then lastly, I also want to answer what one member said on the issue of youth disability and age women. All of your presentation, I did not hear what are you doing. You remember that there should be 2% of. Are we going to that right direction of having these 2% of people with disability getting in, a youth and the women? So that's it. Thank you very much.
Mrs. Filenko.
Let me start by congratulating all the entities that managed to get the clinical gate. Ukwamati, on page 13, and water quality. You did mention the issue of water pollution. And you even said that there are enforcement measures that they were taken. That shows a positive outcome that you have realized already. How sure are you, or what do you mean by that positive outcome that has been realized? Are you saying that there's no more risk or what? TCTA, firstly, your document really is not user-friendly. Going through your document is difficult. There's no numbering. Some of the information, really, if you're not the one who came up with this document, you won't be able to understand really what you are trying to say. By the time Honorable Basson started asking, I wanted to ask also to say some of the issues that is indicated inside the document, like myself, I don't understand them. I don't know whether I will say page 4 or what page. Under progress, under central basin and eastern basin, your targeted progress, not the actual. I don't know whether you can clarify it further. When you say award of tender April 2014, 95% completed, annual spend 97 million. And again, under actual progress, award of tender May 2014, 36% completed, annual spend 122 million. I don't know whether it's 2014 or 2015, the amount, the targeted progress and the actual progress, the figures there, whether they are correct or not, I just only need some explanation. Under impact, the unskilled, it was 1,016, but March 2015 was 841. I just want to check whether the projects that they were on process for the last financial year, whether it's last financial or is this, because you said March 24th and March 24th, which means it's one financial year, whether the number which is correct, the 1,016, the 841, is the one that we are counting, or we are counting the 1,016 plus the 841, just to be clear on that. Again, on the issue of resettlement, Honorable Makondo made mention of this one. I just want to check with you whether you were doing the monitoring or supervising the people who were busy constructing these houses. Because in most cases, you may find that the houses that are being built is not of good quality. It doesn't spend even a year without finding some cracks on them. So, USCCTA, were you there to monitor those houses? Or they were just with the person who were busy constructing them, then you see when you go to hand over to their owners or what? Overall employment, I think it's, what is page 7 or which page is that one? I think the issue of disabled people, we're all talking about it. It's not clear. Yeah, your indication was 1.4 and 2.5. Which one is correct today? Is it the 2.5 or the 1.4? And we must know that that one is a must, that we must comply on it, having disabled people in our institution. Grade for it. On page 18, I don't know whether the manner in which you target has been planned. Because to me, it seems as if your output, they are too high. I don't know whether you want to be seen overshooting or what is it. Because most of your targets are low, but you ended up overshooting. Why can't you plan, or why can't you come up with your target clearly? Because there are some, most of the KPIs here, when you look at them, they are easily achieved. But your plan, you are planning on a very low number. Page 32, under current employment equity data. Looking into your data, the last number is one of the cleaners. I just want to check, are you saying in your institution you are having only one cleaner? And if that particular person is not at work, or if that particular person is on leave, or that person is a sick leave, or a normal annual leave, what's happening in your institution? Because the number there is only one. And, it's a lot of things. Oh, and the Tea Water Research Commission. Page 120, irregular expenditure. And he said that it's clearly that procurement processes were not followed. Why were the processes not followed? Are you saying that you have incompetent people that are there that doesn't know even what is expected from them? And what is it that you did? And you even indicated that there are no corrective measures or any criminal proceedings commenced. What is it that you are waiting for? Even the fruitless and the wasteful expenditure, there's nothing that you are doing on, about it. What is your plan? How are you planning going forward in correcting those fruitful and wasteful expenditures? Thank you, Chairperson.
Part of my observation, again, talks to your stakeholders. You mentioned all of them, and Parliament is not mentioned at all. I'm not sure whether this is by design or this is how it should be. That you are here, you holding your thumb, I would imagine, for this Parliament to say yay or nay. And if this Parliament says nay, what happens if we are not this important stakeholder? Going forward, I think we need to do things right. As far as I'm concerned, as we are doing our oversight work, if I'm one of your Parliament is your key, if you like, stakeholder. You might not be there on a daily basis, but as and when, whether quarterly or biannually or annually, you shall correct me, Mr. Singh, in that respect. Now, the other time we met here, in one of the venues, if I remember very well, I think it was in the old assembly. Water Research Commission responded to a question about the final destination of your trained people. And mentioning being made at that time has to do with some of your technical staff so much needed in the municipalities. And you gave us a response that said the market simply just comes and grabs at and when. And then we made a comment saying that immediately, together with the department, you have to come back to us and give us a way forward as to how best do you manage that process. Here you have somebody who is trained as government expert, and upon concluding that training, that person easily gets grabbed by a so-called market. To an extent, we made comments such that you would need to put in measures as it happens in a number of other professions, among others, you know, medical professionals, veterinarians in this instance, as far as latest as 2 years ago. I'm mentioning it because I was practically involved in that process. 3 years training must equal 3 years stint within the agency or department. It should be as simple as that. You cannot train people only for private sector simply just to grab and go. I thought also from TCTA point of view, there will be mentioning being made about the short-term and long-term solutions. At the time we visited the station there, we were informed that in a period of 18 months, there would be a long-term solution found. Whether that is still on track, granted this is an annual report that we are talking about, but I would have thought that part of reporting, there would be work in progress that begins to talk about that, as to how far have we gone as CCA. I hear a lot being mentioned about the budget constraints, whilst on the other hand, there is a lot of other research work done by other institutions, and to a very large extent, you certainly will be finding yourself in a duplication exercise. As to how do we, it's a long-standing question for a number of government departments. It has to do more with the working in silos. They've got an English word for it. Whether we have been able to consolidate and begin to say, these are the research institutions that top water and sanitation in the country. And what are the collaborative agreements that you have? And where best are we able to say, here, if we are to be looking into sanitation research, we're going to add a theater. Your energy and water fitter, equally is doing his own work. You have a training that is happening by rainwater, by the department. You never get to know as to who does what at the end. At what point are we really going to say, let's optimize, let's maximize here, knowing full well that out of here, the throughput that we're going to be talking about, assets that we shall be able to say, almost 90% of any research is to be found here, and not there having to be wandering all over. At the end of the day, not knowing whether we are going or coming. I thought I should mention those few areas. Okay. Mr. Singh, you want to take us through?
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. The questions and comments and challenges that you put to the department is a demonstration of the vigorous and rigorous role this committee plays in exercising oversight, and we always welcome the questions as guidance from your side or direction for which the department and the entities must respond. Chairperson, I will deal with some of the structural, functional questions in relation to policy, oversight and regulation, and answer some of the questions that are particularly directed at the department. And then I propose that the specific questions that were directed to the entities on their content of their reports will we will take them. So after I give my responses, and we'll take them in the order in which they were presented, which is the responses will come from TCTA, from the Water Research Commission, and from the two catchment management agencies. Yesterday, when the minister addressed the portfolio committee after the AG's meeting on the department's annual report, she gave some critical messages of the strategic direction that we're taking this Department of Water and Sanitation, and gave focused on the reforms that we are dealing with in terms of our legislation, our policy evolution, and institutional reform and realignment. Now, Chairperson, one of the unintended consequences, if you can say it like that, of our fledgling democracy is that we have, since we've become a democracy, we've had to deal with what we call the services backlog, or dealing with services in terms of how do we have support for the municipalities. But it's clear the mandate of the national department is water resource management, policy development, legislation, etc., and of local government it is water and sanitation services. So in the evolution of a democracy, we've paid a lot of attention to services because there was a backlog. There was a need to redress that. And maybe the water resource management function was slightly, I wouldn't say forgotten, but less focus was given to it. So in the entity space, the catchment management agencies, as part of the institutional reform and realignment, the previous minister took the decision that we would have a rationalization from 19 to 9 catchment management agencies. And we have the two that are doing very well, we believe, in terms of water resource management at local level. And the two are what we would like to think role models for the other 7 that we are now rolling out in terms of our strategy. So that is in the context of which I want to put this, Chairperson. But your question about the board appointments and the role of this committee, it does require us to have further deliberations on it. The process as it now stands is that the legislation requires the boards of the entities to be appointed through a process of selection, and then the appointment comes to the minister. The minister carefully considers it and submits it to cabinet. And cabinet then also carefully considers those appointments and then approves the appointment, and then the department proceeds with the implementation of that. So in regard to the TCTA board, we are pleased to announce that cabinet has indeed approved the appointment of the new board after we went through the process. The minister is in the process of issuing the new board members' letters. We've had to go through the vetting and verification of qualifications process, which we have done, and all things being equal, the plan is that the minister would inaugurate the new TCTA board by the end of the month,
and then the board will go through an induction phase, etc. But I think that in the absence of the board, the management team has given a stability, and there's never been a concern about the TCTA as a going concern. Sorry about the pun. The stability of the leadership under Mr. Nlovu and his team, and his very competent team, is a demonstration of faith that the TCTA is still and still continues to have credibility and is able to attract investments for our infrastructure projects in the open markets. So the TCTA board, we are on track. The appointment of Dr. Thomas is also finalized. The CE's appointment also goes through a process where the board does a recruitment of the CEs and makes the recommendation to minister. That appointment also goes through to cabinet, and cabinet ratifies. That has been done. The verification of the qualifications, etc., have been completed, and the letter to Dr. Thomas is, as I understand, been processed by the minister. So we will make an announcement around that. But I think under Dr. Thomas' leadership, the Nkomati Usutu has fared very well in terms of water resource management. Chairperson, then the issue of which entities are being audited by the AG versus the private companies. We've had that conversation previously, and I think one of the observations has been that the AG, in the exercise of its audit function, is perhaps more rigorous than companies like PricewaterhouseCoopers, Cooper and KPMG, etc. But I think that it can still be a subject of further discussion. But the AG itself has limited capacity, and then it takes on which entities it wants to audit, and then you know, it's that type of issue. The Water Research Commission, under the leadership of Barbara Schreiner as the outgoing chair, has been very good. The new board process is underway. In fact, today we're busy with interviews, and then a submission will be made to minister in regards to that, and the process will be fast-tracked. We're trying to get all the remaining boards appointed before cabinet rises at the end of November. So that is still the plan. The issue, Jefferson, of why Parliament is not specifically identified as a stakeholder, I don't think it's by design that we maybe structured it in that way. We view Parliament as having oversight over all the work that the Department does and the work of its entities. So it is a very, very critical stakeholder. And we cannot function because, for example, for our legislation, we need to come through to Cabinet and through Parliament and for our mandate. So we will perhaps in future reflect that Parliament is a critical stakeholder. Maybe the apprehension has been that we consider you to have an oversight function, so therefore you're not a stakeholder. But I think we will have to revisit that. Chairperson, then the other questions regarding skills retention, the strategies of how we deal with that, it's one of those cross-cutting questions that goes across, and all of us, including the department, have a real concern of how we retain skills. The conversation that you had with us about the WRC was in relation to the WRC and the department and entities losing people to training people and investing through graduate programs, training programs, and then the people are lost to the open market. But the question was also around the bursary commitment, that if we give a bursary or some kind of study support, then we need to have reciprocation in turn, and I think the WRC has addressed that together with our other entities. The licensing, Chairperson, we've come as a department to present the licensing, and the functions remain with the department, and we have devolved the functions to the two CMAs that exist to deal with licensing. But if I can try to simplify it, whilst the remaining seven are under evolution and incubation period, what the DG and the Minister wants us to do as part of the review of the legislation and the policy is looking at licensing in the context of water allocation reform. And the Minister's thinking has been that we are issuing licenses in a way based on our business process, but what is the contribution of the license to economic opportunities, etc. So the idea being that we want to have water resource management functions devolved to a local level resulted in the delegation of the functions to the two CMAs. But the department still has the control of it. The minister, as the responsible authority, is delegated to DG, the authority to sign the licenses. So if we want to look at the different classes or the different categories of license, then for the smaller allocations, possibly the thinking was that we should delegate that to the catchment management agencies, but it's part of the reform and review of the policy landscape that we are actually looking at. But currently there is a delegation. It's not a duplication. I would think that that when the catchment management agency issues the license, the department will accept it as that, and the department itself from the regional offices will then, the licenses come up to head office where we go through a verification process and then recommend a record of decision to the DG for her approval. So I want to assure them that it's not a daily. Chairperson, the issue of the issuing of notices and directives in relation to pollution, I think that we have come before this committee in the past and presented that it is enforcement at the administrative level, which then subsequently evolves in, if there is still not compliance, then criminal prosecution through the SAPS and the NPA, etc. But the question is that what is the impact of these directives? And if the directives have no impact, then there has to be consequence management for the people who are polluting. And then through that process, we have administrative enforcement as well as criminal prosecution, which the committee heard from the Justice Department and the NPA as well as the SAPS on how we are dealing with those aspects. I think I will stop there, Chairperson, to let the other colleagues come in with questions specific to themselves, to the entities, and then we can probably maybe take a second round of questions. Oh, Honorable Mkondo's chair, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Singh. There was a shake-off, not a coup. I have got a suggestion that we break for lunch. What time is it now? We break for lunch when entities arranging their responses to the portfolio committee. I think it's going to last for 30 minutes. Then we'll come back and we'll get responses. Thanks.
Young man, huh?